And thanks everybody for their participation. So we'll probably hold off until next week formally, but probably starting already on Monday, we'll go over to the new format if it works better for everybody. So starting the second parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, a very underrated parak, it deals with the Kohen Gadol and all the kinds of rules that apply to the Kohen Gadol. So this is a little bit of a segue from the first parak, where the first parak again discusses certain things that can only be handled by the High Court of 71, the Sanhedrin HaGedola, and one of them is to try the Kohen Gadol in any kind of a capital case. So that's a national matter because of his position. So sort of based on that, the Mishnah moves from the Sanhedrin HaGedola, which is of course a body of national significance, to the Kohen Gadol, who's a personality of national significance. So the Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol dan Vidanin Oso. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to sit on the Sanhedrin. In fact, the Rambam indicates that it's a mitzvah to have Kohanim in the Sanhedrin because the Pasuk says, Ubasal HaKohen Asher Yeva Yemim HaHeim. Vidanin Oso. And he can be tried. Now we're going to see that this is different than the Melech. We're going to get to the Melech, another figure of national significance. The Melech is subject to a different set of halachos. As long as the Melech is in office, whether he can be prosecuted for civil or criminal crimes is actually something that the Mishnah is going to discuss. So we'll get there, God willing, tomorrow. But the Kohen Gadol can again sit on the Sanhedrin HaGedola, and he can be subject to a criminal proceeding. If it's a capital case, then that goes straight to the Sanhedrin. That can't go to any municipal court or provincial court of 23, even though those courts are normally able to handle capital cases. But since he's the Kohen Gadol, he goes to the Sanhedrin. If it's just a monetary dispute, that can be handled by any court of three. Me'id, he can testify. So the truth is, it's not really considered befitting his dignity for him to testify. So the Rambam says he can only testify if it's testimony that's relevant to the Melech. Now, based on the next Mishnah that we're going to deal with, where it says Hamelech ain't done, but ain't done in Oso, that the Melech is not subject to actual trials. So how could it possibly be that the Kohen Gadol is Me'id in the case where it impacts the Melech? So the Gemara says, let's say it's testimony which involves the son of the king. Okay, just one second. Okay, sorry about that. So moving on, Umeidin Oso. Again, he can be subject to a trial, and therefore people can testify against him. Again, if it's a monetary case, it would just be in a regular court of three. If it was a capital case, it would have to skip the level of 23 and go all the way up to 71. Choletz v'choltzin le'ishto. So if, tragically, the Kohen Gadol has a brother who passes away without children, he can actually be subject to the mitzvah of chalitza. Again, he's not going to do yibam because there's a halacha that the Kohen Gadol, unlike all the other Kohanim are permitted to marry widows, but the Torah says about the Kohen Gadol, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav, he has special restrictions. V'hu isha b'besula yikach, he has a mitzvah of marrying a woman who is a besula, almana gushava chalala zonas ela lo yikach, so he's not allowed to do yibum, he wouldn't be allowed to marry his brother's wife, but he would be subject to the mitzvah of chalitza, which is really interesting, because normally when you can't perform the mitzvah of yibum, you don't have to do chalitza either. It's usually a package deal. But here, since it's on a technicality that he's not allowed to do yibum, chalitza is the process where she comes and takes off his shoe and she spits in his direction. And that's quite a chiddush, because you might say that's too degrading to do to a Kohen Gadol, so that's really the chiddush of the Mishnah. It's really a double chiddush. Number one, normally yibum and chalitza are package deals, so the fact that he couldn't do yibum, you might say he's not subject to chalitza, number one. And number two, the fact that there's something denigrating about this process, nonetheless, he is subject to chalitza. B'choltz and l'ishto, if God forbid the Kohen Gadol dies, so then his wife could be subject to chalitza. And umiyagman es ishto, right, his brother would be allowed to marry his wife, because his brother's not the Kohen Gadol, so he has no restriction against marrying an almana. Again, abalhu eno miyagman bipnei shehu aser bi'almana. So this is a very important point. So normally, again, yibum and chalitza are a package deal. When a woman isn't subject to yibum, she's not subject to chalitza. But here, it's not really anything to do with the woman. It's just a technicality that he happens to have the job of the Kohen Gadol. He wasn't born as a Kohen Gadol. They made him the Kohen Gadol. So because it's for an extraneous factor, he would do chalitza, he wouldn't do yibum. Meis lo meis. So let's say he loses one of his immediate relatives. So we know that normally the halacha is a Kohen isn't allowed to become tamei lemeis unless it's one of the seven relatives, right? A spouse, or God forbid, a child, a sibling, parent.
etc. And we know that's one of the unique properties of the Kohen Gadol, is he's not allowed to become Tamei even for the Shiva Krovim. So how is he supposed to handle himself? He can't come into contact with the dead body. Can he even participate in the funeral? So that's going to be subject to a machlokas we're going to see right now between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Pasuk in Parshas Emor says, Umin HaMikdash Lo Yetzei V'Lo Yechalel Es Mikdash Adokav, that he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash. So we'll see that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, yeah, he's not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. The way the Rambam Paskins it is, people can come visit him in his home or in the Mikdash, but he's not allowed to participate in the funeral altogether. That's the way that we Paskin. Rabbi Meir says, it doesn't really mean HaMikdash Lo Yetzei, it's Mikidushaso Lo Yetzei, that he shouldn't leave his state of Kedusha, so he's allowed to participate in the funeral, but as we'll see, from a distance. So in a Yotzei Achar Amita, he can't get too close to the body. God forbid he should actually touch the body. So he has to kind of follow the funeral procession at a distance, and the way that this is interpreted by the commentaries is that he shouldn't be in the same mavo as them, so he should be trailing at a certain kind of a distance. He should only go as far as the city is concerned. But once he's outside the city boundaries, we're very concerned that there are no clear markings, according to Rabbi Meir, and he might get too close to the body itself, and that would be, again, a problem that we'd want to stay very far away from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it's not Mikdushas Lo Yetzei. It's as the Pasuk reads simply, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. That's what the Pasuk says. In a Yotzei Min HaMikdash, and Emor Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei, Ukshehu Menachim Acherim, he's allowed to go and, you know, pay a Shiva call or do Nichum Avelim, Derech Chala'am Over Mazah Farzah. He can do that in the normal fashion. Now, again, if he's going to be comforted when he loses one of his immediate relatives, Hamimuna, that means the deputy Kohen, this person who's appointed to take over if, God forbid, he becomes Pasul or Tamei in the context of Yom Kippur, Mimatzo Beino Levein Ha'am. So that individual should stand on one side of him, and on the other side of him could be the Am. Again, this is all a way of giving honor to the Kohen Gadol, that he should never stand by himself. He should always be attended by some kind of a retinue or an entourage. Ukshu misnachem, when he's comforted, me'acherim, so there's a special formula. You remember when we were doing it at the Shiva house recently, we said both the Sephardic, mina shamayim, kidim chamu, or mako minachem, like the Ashkenazim say. So the Kohen Gadol has his own special formula that he receives. Kola'am omrim lo, anu kaparascha, we should be kapara for you, which is actually very beautiful, because normally the Kohen is mechaper for them. So they say, now that you're in a time of loss, we want to be a kapara for you. May all the good things we do serve to be a mechaper for your family. Behu Omer Lahen, and he has a special line that he's supposed to recite to them, Tis Baruch Hu Min HaShemayim, you should be blessed for your kindness from heaven. So Shemavrin Oso, when you give him the Sudas Havra, remember, that's the minag, is that we don't, when somebody returns from the Beis Olam, from the cemetery, immediately following the loss of the loved one, they don't eat from their own food. We send them food from the community. Shemavrin Oso, Kola'am Mesubin Al Ha'aretz, so they actually sit on the ground, even though normally the Avil would sit on the ground. V'hu Meisei Malal Safsal, and he should sit in a low chair, or somewhat elevated from the ground, because the normal halachos of Avelos have to be counterbalanced by the fact that, look, he's the Kohen Gadol. So again, just to review the special properties of the Kohen Gadol, he's allowed to sit in the Sanhedrin, and he is subject, unlike the Melech, to criminal prosecution. If it's a capital case, it has to be handled by the court of 71. If it's a monetary case, it should be handled by a lower court of 3 without a problem. Now, in terms of providing testimony, you can't call him as a witness in a normal case. Only if it's a case involving the Melech. Now, what do you mean a case involving the Melech? I thought we can't really put the Melech on trial. So the Gemara says maybe one of the Melech's family members, the Ben Melech, and then the Rambam always says the Melech himself. So he's allowed to give testimony in such a case, and the testimony can be given about him. He can perform the mitzvah of Chalitza, even though that's a chiddush, because that involves a woman spitting in his direction. You might say the Kohen Gadol can't go through that. And of course, his wife is either subject to Chalitza Yibum. He's never allowed to perform Yibum, because that would involve him marrying an almana, which is not allowed. What about his participation? Levi, he obviously can't become Tamei LeNefesh under any circumstances, unless it's a Meis Mitzvah. That's a whole different category. A Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, the only situation they can become Tamei is for a Meis Mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda is normative view against Rabbi Meir, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. He doesn't participate in the funeral procession altogether. And then all the special halachos that we saw, that when we give him Nichum Avelim, we say, Hareyanu Kaparascha, that we should be a kapara for you. And he says, Tis Baruch Hu Min HaShemayim, you should be blessed from heaven. And also the Suda Savra, he doesn't sit directly on the ground, because again, that would not be fit to Kohen Gadol. So we've moved from one national entity to the other. The first national entity we were talking about was the Sanhedrin, and now we've moved to the Kohen Gadol, and from here we're going to move to the Melech.